Wednesday, April 4th, 2018. Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. As I'm just coming off my extended birthday weekend, I have been reflecting on all that we have done here at The Last American Vagabond, the hardships we've overcome, the minds we have awoken to the truth, and I'm truly humbled by your support. Your passion and dedication to what we are trying to accomplish is the very reason we have made this outlet a success, even in the face of continuous attacks and censorship. The Last American Vagabond exists because of your support. This website, this channel, this radio station is as much yours as it is mine, and you should be proud of what we have accomplished. Yet we have a long way to go, and it comforts and inspires me to know that we have such an open-minded, critically thinking readership and viewership, and that in and of itself gives me hope. To begin, I want to quickly note on the story that I'm sure many are consumed with, and that is the recent shooting that took place. Shootings happen every day in this country, yet only certain ones are hyped in the media. Ask yourself why some are chosen and others ignored, oftentimes even ones that are far more deadly. There's a political motivation here that we must recognize. The same goes for foreign policy. Ask yourself why the U.S. condemns certain acts while completely ignoring others, and many times takes military or political action in regard to ones that are riddled with holes and entirely lacking evidence, as we will discuss today, all while we have verifiable genocide and human rights atrocities being openly carried out by U.S. allies. The U.S. is even going as far as to take steps to stop any investigation into these horrendous acts, again, because they support what their allies are doing. As for the story at hand, there are many points that stand out to me, but maybe not for the reasons you might expect. We now know that the shooter's father warned the police that she might carry out such an attack on the YouTube building, warned them of exactly this, yet again, no action was taken. But should it have been? Even knowing what we now know, how can we justify preemptive measures before a crime is even committed? That is a very important question that I think is at the crux of the issue here. The shooter was a YouTubing anti-establishment activist, which really seems to check all the boxes. This incident will be and already is being used to cast activists and fringe or conspiracy theory YouTubers and those screaming about censorship as crazy. And as everyone once again points out that the authorities were warned ahead of time and did not act, that will be used to further justify aggressive police action under mere suspicion, continuing to disregard constitutional rights. This may be the plan in general, as we know the FBI has a clear record of orchestrating exactly these kind of attacks. I would not put it past them to simply allow such acts to further a greater good agenda, at least in their minds. But it may simply also be used after the fact. But either way, we must call for authorities to do their jobs, as already outlined, but make sure we do not blindly justify authoritarian action in the face of a tragedy simply out of fear. The issue is not that we need larger and more aggressive enforcement. We simply need enforcement. They are already failing at their job, so why would we think adding more power would make it any better? That is the manipulation. And while this event is forced into the consciousness of every American for clearly political reasons, the fact that we are apparently now militarizing the southern border, which will likely quietly become the entire U.S. borderline, which works just as well to keep people in and is eerily similar to that of a third world country. The U.K. just quietly said they cannot prove that the Novichok nerve agent actually came from Russia, despite them already taking action against them, and even went as far as to ridiculously claim that they never said it was Russia behind it in the first place. And the U.S.-Saudi coalition just bombed a refugee camp in Yemen, killing 7 children and infants. All this is getting next to no attention from the mainstream media. And as I said, this is one of the largest reasons certain stories dominate the mainstream media headlines. So you see nothing else. But remember, that's not just why it's overshadowing all else. We must also ask ourselves why the story is being pushed, in addition to why it's being pushed so aggressively. First story of the day, which I just touched on, coming out of ZeroHedge.com, UK Foreign Office denies claiming Russia responsible for nerve agent, deletes tweet. It appears that either the British government can't keep its lies and proofless accusations straight, or something far more nefarious is at play. Following headlines that British government scientists admit they couldn't tell where the poison, known as Novichok, used in the Salisbury poisoning of the Skripals, came from, undermining a number of claims to come out of Westminster, the UK Foreign Office denies claiming the nerve agent used in the Salisbury poisoning of the Skripals came directly from Russia, despite admitting it sent a tweet saying exactly that, and Boris Johnson making the same claim. This article goes on to give you examples of all of this, showing you the video footage of Boris saying exactly that. I mean, the fact that they can sit here bold-faced lying and claiming that they never said it in the first place, now that they are basically their stories crumbling in front of them because nobody's buying it, it's just shocking to see this, although we know this kind of thing happens. This is exactly how they control the narrative and how they rewrite history by using their propaganda mainstream media news stations. They push the lie, and many people just eat it up and say, oh, well, they're telling me this, so this is the case, without even simply looking back at our very recent history where they made these exact claims. And as I pointed out before, they've already taken action. The U.S. has taken action. I think like 9 different countries have already expelled Russian diplomats based on the claim that Russia was responsible here. Now they're walking back these claims. But how do we justify the expulsion of diplomats and all of the rhetoric they've been calling out on Russia? It's not only deceitful, this exposes exactly what we've been talking about all along, that they make up these claims to further their political agenda. The truth does not even play a factor here. That we need to begin to call this out. We cannot allow them to slip by here and say, oh, well, you misunderstood, despite we have the video right here saying exactly what they claim not to have said. It's a very interesting case here. All kinds of different articles have come out really breaking down the absurd nature of these claims and the fact that there's literally no proof to back them up. And then all of a sudden people keep getting swayed into the idea that this is the case, but now it's clearly being shown that it's not. And they're even going as far as to delete social media where they made those claims. I don't know what more else we need to show this, but it's important to get this in front of people who are continuing to stand behind these claims. I mean, there's even people that are continuing to call out Russia, even though we now have proof that we can't even prove it was them. And, you know, we should obviously make the claim that this is still not definitive proof that it wasn't them. It's still possible that they were behind it, although I highly doubt that. The claim that we should be focusing on is the fact that it would be ridiculous for them to go out and do something that would directly point to them as they're claiming, when in reality they could use any number of things that would clearly not show. I mean, we know of all kinds of different things that they don't like to talk about, such as the heart attack gun, which we know is a verifiable fact. That's been verified many times over. And it's something that is very hard to prove. And it'd be simple enough to use something like that. I mean, or any number of things. But the point that they use something that's so obvious and at least traces back to, you know, kind of an intangible line to the Russians, as well as many other places, it doesn't make sense for them to do such a thing. But I love to see this story crumble right in front of us. And it's something we need to continue to put out there and get in front of the right people so we can show them how blatantly they lie about these things to further their political agendas. Moving on to the next story coming from mintpressnews.com, Israeli bombs are raining down on Gaza and nobody's talking about it. Gaza does not have an air force, does not have air defenses of its own, and in essence represents 2 million Palestinians trapped in what is widely regarded as an open-air prison, which is predicted to become uninhabitable less than 2 years from now. With close to zero media coverage, particularly any analysis that is critical of the Israeli government and its policies, Israel has continued to pound the Gaza Strip with airstrikes since the beginning of the year. One would be hard-pressed to find any serious media coverage of the fact that despite the overwhelmingly harsh conditions that Israel has inflicted on the Gaza Strip, it still routinely delivers sophisticated bombs to maximize the suffering. The United States is not a passive player in this particular conflict either, which shows no signs of de-escalation in the near future. According to Human Rights Watch, the U.S. taxpayer has paid to Israel $3.1 billion in military aid in 2017 alone. Now, the hypocrisy here needs to be pointed out, like I said in the beginning. The simple fact that we can see these kind of things happen. We see plenty of people calling out the human rights atrocities of what's going on here. Yet we see zero media coverage. We don't see the United States grandstanding and calling out Israel as a human rights violator. Yet we see them moving forward with stuff based like the Skripal Novichok nerve agent story and taking action without any evidence. And we now even see the story falling apart in front of us. So again, ask yourself why they're willing to take action with something they almost could certainly know wasn't true, clearly for political reasons, yet they fail to do anything in regard to a blatant act of human rights violation. And I mean, we're seeing civilians die at unprecedented rates. And this is one of the worst examples of genocide throughout the world today. And it's been going for a very, very long time, and no one ever talks about it, or beside independent media. The fact that the mainstream media completely ignores this and the United States fails to even acknowledge it really needs to show you the hypocrisy of everything that's going on today, and really ultimately show you that it has nothing to do with human rights. It has to do with geopolitics and what they're trying to accomplish on the world stage. That has to stand out to us. And then moving on to the next story, which completely relates, coming also from mintpressnews.com, U.S. blocks UN statement for investigation of Israeli use of live fire in Gaza. The United Nations and European Union have called for a transparent and independent investigation into Israel's killing of protesters in Gaza, but the U.S. has already blocked a UN statement on the matter. And this is nothing new. The U.S. has continually backed, and I think it's over 50 times now, backed these kind of things in the United Nations, stopping Israel from ever being held accountable for such things. And I mean, they do the same thing in regard to all of their allies. They because they have a veto vote in the United Nations, they can simply stand up and veto anything they don't like. And anything that makes any of their allies or themselves either held accountable for their crimes or expose what they're trying to do. I mean, we see the world calling these kind of things out. There's nothing to dispute here. Civilians are dying, regardless, even if they can make the claim that there are people that they're attacking, you know, violent rebels or whatever they want to call them, you know, which there are. There are definitely violent people in Gaza and Palestine. There are people that are, you know, taking violent action. You could make the argument it's for justifiable reasons, but nonetheless, you could make that argument. But nonetheless, they are going in and bombing indiscriminately and killing children and women. And it needs to stand out to us that they're doing this without being challenged. They know that. That's why they're continuing to carry these things out, because they know they will not be held accountable. So we need to keep in mind when we talk about Russia or Syria or any of the essentially enemies of the United States, and realize that they're willing to point out and call them out for any little thing, even when they're lies, yet they fail to call these either Saudi Arabia or Israel, any one of their allies out for the very same things, oftentimes way, way worse. We need to begin to see that. Moving on to the next story coming in of the freethoughtproject.com, couple spied on, raided, and kidnapped by feds for peaceful posts questioning the government. Now, this is a very interesting story that is very revealing. And it's one of those stories that people kind of reflexively dismiss because they tell themselves, well, there must be more here. But when you really dig into the story, it becomes very clear what's going on. Ultimately, I like the way this started stands out to me quite a bit. There's basically this couple was pulled over on the street under the fake claim that they had a taillight out. Where they basically told them that's what, and that's always like the fake idea. They can say, oh, well, your taillight's out, or, you know, whatever they can say to get them to pull over. They basically then said, oh, well, you know, can we go? And they stood in their way and they wouldn't let them leave. They eventually became surrounded by militarized police with AR-15s. I find that very funny, first of all, AR-15s. And they're just surrounding them for you know, nothing. There's nothing violent happening, right? So they surround them and they claim it was because of a taillight, but they wouldn't let them leave. They became illegally detained without being read their rights or told why they were being detained, which is clearly a violation of their constitutional rights. But again, that no longer matters if they can simply claim they were worried they might be a threat, which is what we were talking about in the beginning. And this is as a result of the recent shootings that continue to go on, rights just simply no longer matter. That's why we have to consider this in the bigger scheme, that this is the agenda being pushed. They can just disregard your constitutional rights as long as they have some kind of, you know, flimsy justification that you could end up doing something wrong. I mean, that's absolutely wild when you think about what that means. They then went on to illegally raid their home, again, under the premise that they were a threat. So laws and rights that just once stopped such illegal action apparently no longer matter or apply. The couple are quoted as saying, we were transported to the police station where we would subsequently be held for 13 hours without being able to make a phone call or ascertain charges against us. That's crazy. All the while, the SWAT team, with the assistance of the ATF, the FBI, the National Terrorism Task Force, raided my home, removing over 120 items, the vast majority of them not being our personal firearms, but business records, personal hard drives, and music, notebooks, maps of the local area, plate carriers, legally obtained ammunition. And they went on to tell the Free Thought Project that the investigators gave no other reason for the raid than inflammatory social media posts. Now, there's the kicker. And they revealed that the investigation was started after a post on one of their social media accounts, and it was reported by, quote, a concerned individual. So think about this, how this all started. They get pulled over under the fake claim that they have a taillight out, which clearly wasn't the case, as they held them there, detained them for a very long time, and it all comes back to a social media post that somebody was concerned about. They continued saying, quote, they had allegedly been observing us for about 1 month, as well as observing Andrew, the gentleman's elderly parents, a Baptist minister, and a county librarian, possibly the most harmless and docile individuals on earth, who have been dragged into this investigation, which is essentially tragic, considering Andrew's father had suffered a stroke only a few weeks ago and has been in healing, just recently able to return to his work as a preacher. The Leeches, which is their name, owned a tactical supply company in California. They do not sell firearms, but they do sell parts that can be used by individuals on their firearms, among a variety of other products. Leech noted that the business is completely legal and follows all of the state's regulations. As Leech also noted, the screenshots that were used by police depicted content that questioned the narrative, criticized government overreach, and called for police accountability. Instead of advocating for violence or threatening anyone, the Post condemned the violent methods used by the government and police. Now, they threw down a huge stack of their social media posts from Facebook and wherever else, simply showing that they advocate, you know, or they point out the negative aspects of government and police, not breaking any laws, not advocating any kind of violence. Yet they get pulled over and accosted and held without being told why, which is against the law, because of social media posts. Clearly, it relates to the fact that they own a store which sells things that you can adapt weapons, not weapons themselves, but the things that can adapt them. And that's clearly a big issue for people today. I mean, so simply the point is that because they do this, because of their job and because of the way they speak on the internet legally, they're now being deemed a possible threat, which then throws their rights right out the window. The search warrant for their house listed both of their Facebook accounts. And police apparently gained a search warrant with no legitimate evidence of any wrongdoing, showing ultimately what a false comfort such requirements truly are in the face of a tyrannical government, all based on zero laws being broken, just under the premise that they might be a threat. Whether this was the plan all along or these recent crises are being used to carry out what many of us have correctly been saying was the agenda all along, we can see this happening right in front of us, and clearly, we were right. Regardless of the justification or rationale behind all of it, they are doing exactly what we have been warning about and being called crazy for even suggesting. Here it is, right in front of us. For more information on the topics discussed, make sure you check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or any of the important independent sites in the show notes below. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.